The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
All right, there is the fanfare. That means it's time for a movie review with our movie critic, Matt Olien. And Matt, you have been to see The Dead Don't Die, a take on the zombie films more than a zombie film itself.
Yeah, but is it a satire? Is it a send-up of zombie films? We'll get into that in a minute. And if you don't know, the song version of The Dead Don't Die by Sturgill Simpson plays a major role in this film throughout the film.
It is its own
character. To the point where you get a little tired of hearing that song, but that's another thing. This is now in limited release. I really wanted to like this film. Some of Jim Jarmusch's films are really good from the past. Stranger Than Paradise, Dead Flowers with Bill Murray, Night on Earth, Dead Man with Johnny Depp and Robert Mitchum. He's got a lot of big cast members here. It takes place in a small, sleepy town. Bill Murray is the local police chief. Adam Driver is also a police deputy in the police force. Tilda Swinton is in this film in kind of a strange performance. Chloe Sevigny, Selena Gomez shows up in barely any performance for her. I was expecting more of that. You know, it starts off promisingly enough. They're trying to go for satire. You know, what's going on? Why are these people dead? Adam Driver says these are zombies. He declares that it's a zombie thing even before he knows what's going on. And one of the problems, actually, is the film thinks it's funnier than it is. And everyone speaks in kind of this slow, deadpan thing that's supposed to be funny, and it's not. And we were chatting beforehand that you've seen this already. We both thought it started out promising, and eventually it just grinds to a halt and actually slips into boredom. I thought it got pretentious at the end. There's a voiceover by a character named Hermit Bob, played by Tom Waits, that's really pretentious and over the top. I think Jarmusch is kind of going for a political satire on current times, but that kind of gets buried into things. I think he'd have been better off to go for a complete spoof of zombie films, sleepy small town setting, police officers don't know what's going on. That might have been a better motif. It just doesn't hold up. It's not funny. It's slow. The zombies, you know, the makeup on the zombies is pretty good. Steve Buscemi's in the film. There's a lot of A-listers with not a lot to do. And the underdeveloped characters, I felt, they break the fourth wall. There's a couple times where the fourth wall is broken. I didn't think that worked as well either. I thought that kind of fell a little bit flat. So it's kind of all over the place, and I don't know what he was going for, and it just doesn't work.
Well, I'm trying to think of another film I've seen that's quite as self-referential as this one. Like this... The theme song joke was funny once, twice, then it kind of kept going. They make references to reading the script to the film that they're
in. That's the fourth
wall. Right.
That's not funny either. There's a recurring line, Ashley, about what caused this. Could have been a wild animal. Could have been several wild animals. This joke is repeated five times to the point where it's not funny. And so the writing, the screenplay needed to be fleshed out more. I think it's lazy writing. The last line of the film is lazy. I'm not going to reveal that to people. It seems like a vanity project for Jim Jarmusch and a lot of his favorite actors. You know, he's worked with Bill Murray before. I like Adam Driver for the most part. He's probably the best thing in the film. You know, Bill Murray, again, kind of does this deadpan underplay thing that he's been doing for about 10 or 15 years that sometimes works. But again, everybody delivers their lines so slowly that it's meant for effect. It's meant to be funny, and it's not funny. Tilda Swinton plays this Scottish undertaker who lives in town. That really goes nowhere, I didn't feel. It feels like a vanity project, self-referential. That's a great word, Ashley. Another word might be pretentious. And it just feels like I'm going to get my buddies together. We're going to make a zombie film, and this is going to be great. And it's just not. I was very disappointed in this movie.
There is one great sight gag when Adam Driver comes onto the scene.
That is funny. We won't say what that is. Yeah. But that is, there are some chuckles like that play okay. You're right.
Yeah. I felt like the beginning of it was really quite funny.
Yeah. I think this is a film, the premise is good. Mm-hmm. Let's make a zombie film. It's a satire of past zombie films. Sleepy small town, police department doesn't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
I thought the Chloe Sevigny character was not fleshed out good at all. I didn't care for that as well. It's not her fault.
Yeah.
So I think it started out as a great idea. Jim Jarmusch still can get financing for his movies. He's kind of like, I would say, the poor man's Richard Linklater without the gift for dialogue that Linklater has, who did Before Sunrise mm-hmm. and Boyhood and things like that. It's just slow moving, not very funny, and should have been a lot better than it was.
And we should mention a loss in the Hollywood community, the film community, director Franco Zeffirelli.
Yes, he was 96, the Italian director. In some of the obituaries, they mentioned flamboyant. His films were very extravagant, not always liked by the critics. He made some good films. He made some bad films. Some of his later films, like Endless Love and the remake of The Champ, are just not very good. In fact, they're bad. But he's best remembered for his Shakespearean adaptations, which started in 1967 with The Taming of the Shrew, where he got Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton to star, and they were the biggest couple on the planet at that time. And then the next year, he outdid himself with Romeo and Juliet, which got him a Best Director nomination, and it was a runaway box office hit. So his real contribution is he got Shakespeare to the masses, and he proved Shakespeare could be a box office juggernaut, which it was with that film. The other thing he did with that film, Ashley, that was so crucial, he cast two teenagers as Romeo and Juliet. Leonard Whiting and Olivia Hussey were both teenagers. Prior to this, it was very typical to cast name actors, older actors. Infamously, the 1936 Hollywood version had Norma Shearer and Leslie Howard playing Romeo and Juliet. They were like 34 and 43 at the time. I know it's ridiculous, but he made the decision to cast teenagers, and it was a runaway hit. Kids went to the film. The music score, A Time for Us, was all over the radio at that time. So he never reached those dizzying heights again, but that was the film he is best known for.
Well, for our Oscar trivia, we're going to go back to the original film, The Dead Don't Die, Jim Jarmusch, the director, born in 1953. So for the 1953 Oscars for 1952 films.
52 films, okay.
Yes, for the director.
So the winner was John Ford for The Quiet Man.
There you go.
Do you want the other?
I didn't write him down,
well,
so you could say
Cecil
any of them.
Cecil B. DeMille for The Greatest Show on Earth, John Huston for Moulin Rouge. Joseph L. Mankiewicz, Five Fingers, and Fred Zinnemann for High Noon. Those were the nominees. The winner was John Ford for The Quiet Man for Best
Director.
That's
what I was looking for.
Okay.
We've been in the movies with Matt Olien.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.